Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. You know, dear people, being a Christian is not always easy. Not everyone has been or is now sympathetic with New Testament Christianity. Now, there's a reason for that. A lot of people just can't stand being accountable to any authority. They want to do their own thing and go their own way without ever having to give answer for the reasons that they do whatever they do. And a lot of people are very much opposed to the church, because the church upholds the doctrine of Christ concerning the way people are supposed to live. There are just a lot of people, they love their liquor. They love their sexual immorality. They are on their drugs. They like to lie and cheat. They can't give their name and address without profanity and vulgarity, and they want to live that way. And they don't want anybody to restrict them from living that way. They don't believe that such a thing is right and wrong. They believe that they're privileged to do whatever they want to do and live whatever way they want to live. And therefore, the church, teaching the doctrine of Christ, will not allow that. Therefore, they are opposed to the church. In fact, they're very hostile to the church. They'll speak evil of the church and those who are members of the church. But that's not a new thing. We read in the book of Acts in the 28th chapter, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I have aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. Now notice, they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee and what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." Friend, when these people spoke of this sect, they were referring to the church of which Christ is the head and the founder. It was considered by many to simply be a splinter group, a throw-off of some of the Jews. It was not that. They failed to see Christianity for what it is, and they knew that everywhere there were those who were opposed to it. Friend, from the day Jesus Christ was born there in the city of Bethlehem, there have been those who have been against him. You will remember there was Herod, who sought his life as an infant, making it necessary for Joseph to take Christ and Mary to Egypt until Herod died. And throughout the ministry of Christ here upon this earth, the Herod family was antagonistic to the work of Christ. And he was spoken against with prejudiced words at his trial, was he not? He was spoken against even when he was on the cross. And during his ministry, many listened to him, not in order to learn, but to ensnare him in his speech. They listened because they wanted to find fault with what he had to say. They were really against him. They were speaking against him. And on the day that the Lord's church was established, and the Bibles do will remember that was the first Pentecost after the resurrection and ascension of Christ, there were some who accused the apostles of being drunk. Well, of course, they were not drunk. The Holy Spirit had come upon them, and they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. But some did not want to hear what they were preaching, and therefore they made these accusations against them. Persecutions arose in the early church. First from the Jews, they persecuted the church, and then the Romans persecuted the church. And while at the very first the church found few friends, it was not long before it was very unpopular to be a Christian, and people had to hide if they were going to be Christians. You know, there are some churches today, they thrive on trying to be popular. They'll do all kind of things in order to be popular. They'll pull all kind of ridiculous gimmicks in order to get crowds and have people to like them. Is that the mission of the church? In order to have big crowds? In order to have the public to like them? Or is it the mission of the church to uphold the things God wants upheld in this word, in this world? Is it not to exalt Jesus Christ and His will? Is it not to encourage people to abandon their ways of sin and to live a life of righteousness in Christ? But they'd rather be popular than to be proper. The Lord's church has never been popular in the sinful world. People who love their sins, they do not love the church. And because of the church calls for righteousness, why, they are opposed to the church, and they'll find fault with the things the church says and does. Now, the things that are spoken against the church ought not be ignored. Human beings make up the church, and those in the church, they're not perfect, and there may be at times room for criticism. We realize that. Furthermore, to ignore the opposition to the church is to fail to defend the truth. Paul said he was set for the defense of the gospel, and so we should be. And Jesus warned, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." And again, John wrote, "Marvel not," Jesus wrote and John recorded, "Marvel not, brethren, if the world hate you." If we be Christians, friend, we can expect to be spoken against everywhere by some elements of society. And we need to know what is said. And if there are faults that need be corrected, we need to correct them. Or we need to defend the faith. Paul said, "Those that will live righteously shall suffer persecution." 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Well, among the things that are spoken against the church is that the church is narrow-minded. Now, in a biblical sense, this is true, and may it ever be. After all, the way to heaven is straight and narrow. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, "Some think that being broad-minded about everything is always a virtue." Well, that's not so. We have the obligation to be just as narrow as is the truth that God has revealed, and to be just as broad as the truth of God will allow. We're not to be at variance with it. People really don't mind being narrow-minded at all, except in religion, and 'cause that runs contrary sometimes to the way they want to live. You know, we go to the doctor. He prescribes a medicine. We take it to the druggist, and we have that to a druggist to fill that prescription. Well, we want it just exactly like the doctor ordered, without addition, without subtraction. That's not being narrow-minded. That's being proper and right. We do not recall, we don't call the doctor or the druggist narrow simply because they do what is required. Simply because they do no more or no less. We date our business documents with a specific and certain date. Is that being narrow-minded? You see, people don't mind being narrow-minded. We dial a series of numbers on the telephone, and if we miss one number and get a wrong number, why, we don't accuse the telephone company of being narrow-minded. People expect that. Narrow-mindedness, that's not a problem with people. Some of the principles and specifics of Christianity are just too narrow for some people. That Christ is the only Savior, that's too narrow for some folks. That there's just one church, that's too narrow for some folks. But that's what the Bible teaches. That there are things we must do and things from which we must abstain, that's too narrow for those who want to go their own sinful way. And some think it's strange that we live a peculiar life because we do not engage in those wicked things. The truth is too narrow for those who don't want the truth, but it is the truth that will make us free, John 8:32. Friend, error is not just as good as the truth. What many do not realize is that the church is to follow the way God has revealed in His Word, and calling that way narrow is derogatory against God and His will. Well, many people criticize the church. You say too much about baptism. Well, the church is criticized for overemphasizing baptism. We wonder if really possible to overemphasize anything God has taught. We might underemphasize what He has revealed, but can we really overemphasize His Word or any part of it? Let us suggest that what some call overemphasizing is really their reaction to underemphasizing it. We talked to a Baptist who was critical in this way, and I responded, "At least we don't name ourselves after it." Yes, baptism is a command of God. Please look up the passages that show baptism is necessary for salvation. Can we overemphasize what is necessary to go to heaven? There's no condemnation in Christ, and it is through baptism that we enter into Christ. Salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2:10. How are you going to overemphasize what God has made necessary in order to have all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1:3? And regardless of the doctrines of men, baptism does save, 1 Peter 3:21. And we reach His blood, being baptized into His death. That's where His blood was shed, Romans 6:3-4. How does one make too much of that? No, the real reason for the criticism against the teaching of the Bible on baptism is because most denominations won't teach what the Bible teaches. They leave it out. They teach their creeds, their catechisms, their disciplines, their manuals. They teach things that are not found in the Word of God, and they criticize those that teach what is in the Word of God. Baptism for the remission of sins, that's unpopular with a lot of people because, you see, that clashes with their creeds and their disciplines and their traditions and what their ancestors have done and what they like and don't like. To teach what the Bible teaches is mandatory. That's not an optional matter with those who truly want to follow the ways of our Lord. Friend, there are things that are spoken against the church, and we'll want to look at some more of them in our next lesson as well, because there are a lot of people, they don't realize what they're doing many times, but they're speaking against God, and they're speaking against God's Word when they speak against the doctrine of Christ and the church that Christ established. We appreciate you listening. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.